This episode is brought to you by our Hosting Handbook mini course. Whether you're already hosting guests on Airbnb or you're still trying to soak up as much knowledge as you can, this course is the ultimate cheat sheet.
It can transform your hosting from hobby to business. Get our coveted templates that include the welcome book, turnover handbook, and supply closet spreadsheet, and other great bonuses you don't want to miss.
Our hosting handbook is usually priced at $297, but for a very limited time, you can grab your seat for just $67. Head to www.thanksforvisiting.me/hosting handbook to get all the deets. Now, on to the show.
You're listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. We believe hosting with heart is at the core of every successful short-term rental. With Annette's background in business operation and Sarah's extensive hospitality management and interior design experience, this dynamic duo has welcomed more than 2,000 guests from 25 countries, earning them over $500,000 and garnering them over 650 five-star reviews. Now they're ready to share creative ways for your listing to stand out, to serve your guests, and be profitable. Each episode will have knowledgeable guests who bring value to the short-term rental industry, or Annette and Sarah will share stories about their own experiences so you can implement actionable improvements to your own rentals. Whether you're experienced, new, or nervous to start your own short-term rental, we promise you'll feel right at home. Here are your hosts, Annette and Sarah.
Hey, listeners, welcome to another great week. I am Sarah Karakayan.
I am Annette Grant, and together we are.
Thanks for visiting. All right, we're going to start our episode like we do every single week, which is share someone who's using our hashtag on Instagram. It's hashtag STR Share Sunday. Annette, who are we sharing this week?
We are sharing at @Willow_Chalet. Again, that's @Willow_Chalet, and it is hosted by Teresa and JJ, and they are in Big Bear Lake, California. Let's get into some of the things that we like about this listing, Sarah.
Well, I think that the main thing that we love, number one, it's cute as a button. They are super host, which is great, which means they're committed to their guests, which, you know, we love. But here's the cool thing. They've used their listing on Airbnb as their own FAQ, frequently asked question. What they do is they've been collecting questions they've been getting from guests and putting it right into their listing. So can we cook at the cabin? ? Is the cabin the right place for children? ? Should I bring linens or towels? ? What's a television movie situation? ? So they have all these and then they go into the answer, which is really wonderful. I know a lot of times Annette and I tell you to have canned responses for these general questions. And you can even say in the listing, like, we have linens and towels, but sometimes if you pose it as the question that your guest is giving you, mm-hmm. it triggers the potential guest of being like, oh yes, I am wondering that. What's the deal with that? So really well done on that part. That's unique.
Yes. And it takes the question. They're literally answering the questions as they come up in their future guests' mind. So Well done at Willow Chalet. And everyone, please, if you haven't, follow them on Instagram, give them some likes and some love. And then if you haven't shared your space with us in our community yet, please use the hashtag @STRShareSunday and we will have you on the show here soon. All right, Sarah. Let's get into this episode.
Okay. We are super excited. We have Simon DeSwan is a super host who has spent 15 years working for Four Seasons Hotels and Resorts and now works from home as an executive recruiter in the hospitality field. And he enjoys hosting. That's right. He's got his own short-term rental as a way to interact with people from all over the world. Simon, welcome to our show.
Thank you very much. Lovely to be on the show.
And we have to let our listeners know that Simon is on our show because he was a referral from an amazing guest, Kate Bueller. And if you haven't listened to Kate's episode, please, please go back to it. She is simply a very special human being and her story was wonderful. And we just thank her for giving us this referral of Simon to have on the show. So Simon, can you let our listeners know where you're coming from today, where your short-term rental is, and a little bit about your background?
Our short-term rental is in Eagle, Colorado, which is about 30 miles west of Vail. So we're right in the middle of ski country. And I moved here. Actually, my husband and I moved here about I guess it's coming up on 4 years ago, when I worked for Four Seasons. And we were fortunate enough to buy a house that is probably too big for the two of us. And then when I started to work for myself, I realized that I missed the hospitality sector and thought, what a great opportunity. We were fortunate that we have a third floor that'll and an elevator as well. So people can bypass our living space and go straight up to the third floor and have all the privacy they want, or they can come down and interact with us if they wish.
Ooh, I just have to ask this one question because I'm dying to know now. How many people opt to take the elevator over the stairs so they don't have to interact?
quite a few. If you take the elevator, and our first guests were a couple who ended up staying, I believe, 10 or 14 days. I don't remember exactly. I think it was 10 days because the husband came to get knee replacement surgery at the Stegman Clinic. And they found our listing because they knew they didn't have to take the stairs. And it was really helpful. So it's also an added benefit of being located near proximity of the Stegman Clinic.
Oh, wow. Now, was that... Okay, so I guess we should back up a little bit. Okay, many questions for you, Simon. Okay,
sure,
take a side route there.
When you purchased this property, were you already thinking income property or as a potential... Even, you know, whether or not you were going to take that potential on, and was that an added bonus, or how did
it? It was an added bonus, but we happen to own a second home, or we own an original home in Boston, mm-hmm. which a two-family Victorian house. And when we looked at this house, it has a two-bedroom walk-off on the first floor, and so it's actually a two-bedroom walk-off with two baths, a laundry room, and a kitchen dining room. And so we knew immediately what to do with the house because it mirrored very much the home that we own in Boston, where we lived upstairs and we had tenants downstairs. But we only use really the second floor of the house. And the third floor was vacant. I mean, we have an ensuite plus a bedroom with an additional bathroom, which is in the hallway, which allows us to rent it upstairs for either, you know, groups that are coming together, no more than four people. But if you were coming with, you know, two people and they wanted to bring some friends, they can each get a room. And it just sort of was a natural extension of what I knew how to do. I mean, having worked in hospitality all my life, I knew I had a vision of what I wanted to do in terms of quality of service and just sort of the way I wanted the place to be comfortable. And I think our reviews reflect that. And it's been great. I mean, unfortunately, COVID did impact it, and we are just about to restart to receive guests in January.
Nice.
So let's go back to the start of hospitality. Are you like so many in the industry that just kind of fall into it, or was it a planned path into hospitality for you at the beginning of your career?
Well, I had aspirations of... Sorry, I've got a coffee cake in the oven, which I'm going to turn off. My timer. There we go. And my husband will get it out of the oven. I had aspirations of being a chef and went to culinary school. I'm a graduate of the CIA and in Hyde Park, New York, and stumbled into hotels, quite frankly. I started working in the restaurants and then I had a friend I'd gone to culinary school with, and I needed a job. We were living in Boston at the time, and I ended up working in a hotel, and I started as a cook because that's what I knew how to do. And gravitated to the front of the house, partly because I was in my 20s and people in their 20s are impatient about making money. And Boston was expensive considering where we had lived prior. So I became a waiter and ended up being in the front of the house for the rest of my career. I stopped cooking professionally. Worked in a hotel for 13 years and then actually ran freestanding restaurants for 5 years. And I missed hotels. So then I subsequently actually saw an ad back in the day when you actually saw ads, print ads, which is kind of shocking to think
of. A help wanted ad, if you will?
Help wanted.
I like it.
I saw one and I applied to the Four Seasons. Seven interviews later, they hired me to oversee their fine dining restaurant. It was their flagship French restaurant in Boston. And that began a 15-year career with Four Seasons, where we were in Boston at Four Seasons for about 8.5 years. And then I got transferred to New York, where I was the food and beverage director at the flagship hotel for the company in Midtown Manhattan for about 2 years. I then took a brief break, went to work. I did consulting out in the Hamptons and then also in Cambridge, Massachusetts, and then missed 4 seasons. And then an opportunity opened in Vail, Colorado. And so I came back to the company, moved back to Vail, and then eventually decided, you know, it was time to do my own thing and became, I was actually doing recruiting for 4 seasons and realized I wanted to make it a career jump and join Goodwin Recruiting, who I had actually coincidentally used 18 years ago prior to moving to 4 seasons.
Interesting.
Is 7 interviews, is that standard for the 4 seasons?
A lot of interviews are standard. Yeah, actually, I remember that they came to watch me work at my
job that
I had. They came to see me. They actually told me I needed to get a haircut, and now I'm growing hair out again.
Good listeners, for you cannot see this, but Simon has an amazing coif of hair going on right now, and very stylish glasses.
This is what
glasses.
I want Nick's to look like in that.
Yes, Sarah wants her husband to mirror Simon's look, so we'll make sure to take a screenshot and share with him.
I no longer work for 4 seasons. I'm growing my hair out.
And he's got a whisper of a 5 o'clock shadow too. So he's got all the things going on. It's looking
good.
Thank you. So they actually can't like this. I know this isn't about your interview process, but it's how important it was to 4 seasons for their guests. And so they actually came to visit you at work. That's amazing.
They came to watch me unbeknownst. They came to watch me at work. I was a manager at a French restaurant in Boston called Radius. And they came to watch me. I had, you know, 7 interviews. And the next thing they knew, they said, we'd like to make you the manager of Aujourd'hui, which was the restaurant. I went, oh my God, really? It was like, wow. And Aujourd'hui at the time was one of the premier restaurants in Boston. And here I was taking over management of it after a renovation. And I came, you know, I did have hotel experience, so they hired me because I had worked at another hotel for 13 years. But all of a sudden, I found myself playing at a very different level. And my career ended up being that I then became an assistant director of food and beverage, and then director of food and beverage. And, I mean, it was a wild ride.
Yeah.
It's an amazing, amazing company, and... It allowed me to do a lot in my life. And now my focus is very different now. It's, I realize now that working in operations is exciting, but there was a certain point where I started feeling that it was a young person's business or younger. I didn't, you know, it's long hours and it's hard work and it's very rewarding, but I'm fortunate now to be in a place both financially, but also just sort of mentally, that my focus is now about giving back to people and very much about, that's why I recruit. I mean, the recruiting part is a way of giving back to the community and to those people who need help.
Right.
What type of positions do you recruit for now? They're all in hospitality?
Yeah, my focus is hospitality. Goodwin does all kinds of recruiting. The company was founded on a basis of being a hospitality recruiting firm. But since then, we've grown. We do executive C-level search, manufacturing, engineering, recruiting, as well as finance, human resources, nursing, and senior living. I actually just led a very, very upscale senior living community. We got them a new executive director, and we were doing a search as well for a facilities director. And they ended up hiring so far 2 people from us. And, you know, so I'm transitioning to different sectors, different verticals, partly because I'm realizing I enjoy it, and partly because it's the reality of where we are right now. The hospitality business is definitely struggling due to COVID. Mm-hmm. So you have to be resourceful in terms of, where do you find people in need?
Mm-hmm. So, Simon, you have extensive experience in top restaurants and top hotels, and here you are welcoming people into your own short-term rental. I have to ask you if you could give me your top 3 favorite takeaways from working with some of the best in the industry that you can apply to your own short-term rental. what would those top three, or if you've got more, that's okay. But what were those top few things that you really wanted to make sure you adopted into your own short-term rental?
Well, I think first of all is making people feel very much at home, making them feel like, you know, they are welcome in your home. They are guests. They're great friends and family. So it's make that sense of welcome. It's not transactional. It's relationship based. And making that connection. It also I really try to gauge why they're here and give them space if they need it. I think that's also very important. So give them, you know, privacy or space and be respectful. But I also let all of our guests know we're here. We're here for you at any given time. I think it's also just very important prior to COVID, it was very important to let people feel welcome in any part of the house. I mean, since I'm here in my office, they don't tend to come into this room. But if they want to cook, they can cook. And we've had people cook. Sometimes I have to look the other way, quite frankly, just because I have a culinary background. And I'm like, oh, you're not asking my opinion, but I'll just let you make the thing.
That's amazing.
That is
hysterical.
I have
to look the other way with people in my kitchen, yeah. I guess.
You know, there was someone, and no shade. It was just, you know, they were cooking a steak. We have a great grill. So we allow people, our guests, to use our backyard. And we have a very, very big Weber grill, super hot grill, and they can use it. And they chose not to grill there. They bought expensive steaks and were frying them on the stove. And I'm like, what are you doing?
That's so good.
My place to stay. I'm like, okay, this is how you're cooking. I'm not.
No, but good for you for letting them do their thing. I think that's tough.
Yeah, I mean, it's their home at that moment. And so it's really about, you know, making it an extension of your home, which is what a hotel is.
Right.
Extension of your home. And you allow, you know, you that's why you stay in hotels. And hotels tend to be aspirational.
Right.
You typically stay in a hotel because it affords you, in some cases, the fantasy of something that maybe you don't have yourself or a level of comfort that you are accustomed to. And so we really try to offer the same thing. It's not so much the aspirational part, but it's the comfort that you would have at home.
Mm-hmm. So at hotels, right, there's all sorts of different ways we can engage the guest, you know, with their senses, with, you know, with the atmosphere, with all sorts, there's a front desk, there's people greeting you at the front door, or all those sorts of things. How have you adopted any of those touch points with your short-term rental?
I always have a welcome amenity and a welcome card.
Okay.
And in fact, we had one couple that were celebrating, I think it was their 25th wedding anniversary. So I had champagne waiting for them in the room.
Nice.
And invariably, there's always a thank you card that I give them on the way out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, on the way out.
I like that. You just put us all to shame.
No,
on that
that's
one.
Good. That's actually, listeners, I've never heard that, Simon. We'll sometimes leave notes when they arrive, but I kind of like getting them on the way out there. That's interesting. Yep.
You get a welcome card and a thank you card. You also, you know, in terms of if they need anything, there's a list of things that we can provide. And I've got ironing board. I don't put it out so that it's in their way. But if they want anything, there's a list of, you know, we have ironing board.
That's nice.
We have Wi-Fi. I have additional amenities that I can bring up to them if they so wish. We have a refrigerator in the room. The room is stocked with tea, hot chocolate, coffee maker, extra towels. In the bathroom, I try to anticipate anything that they might need for women traveling. I have makeup removing cloths, so that basically they don't ruin our towels.
Right.
And just sort of, I try to be very anticipatory in what I think they might need, just based on my experiences working in a luxury hotel.
Right.
I've yet to have anyone say, oh, do you have this? And, you know, sometimes I think maybe a wine opener. I don't leave wine openers around because people take them, quite frankly. I mean, I know that it's just sort of, I don't want to be replacing them, but if you need them, I'll bring them.
So it's almost like, and I like this, listeners, because not everyone has an apartment that, you know, that they short-term rent and they don't live in, or a home, a single-family home that they don't live in. So this is an interesting combination, Simon, where it's separate but connected, and you're willing to almost be kind of like their concierge of sorts, or their room attendant if they need something. Have you ever considered, I don't know, this is kind of just a thought that brought to me, but a lot of hosts right now, like you said, are kind of figuring out other ways to make income since bookings are down. Would you ever consider offering a candlelit dinner where you cook or something extra like that that they could pay for?
Absolutely. And I actually signed up for it with Airbnb, but I didn't actively pursue it, but I absolutely do it. Yeah. I mean, if someone wanted me to cook dinner, I would. And in fact, the couple that were here for the knee replacement, I ended up cooking dinner for them a couple of times and they actually cooked dinner for me.
Oh,
I mean,
they're
pretty cooking and they invited me. So I figured it was just sort of, why wouldn't I cook dinner for you? And you know, you pick up on the vibe of people, and I wasn't looking to do it for extra income. It just was it was a nice thing to do. I mean, they couldn't be traveling around and other than to go get physical therapy. So I said, why don't I make dinner for you? And we did that, I think, a couple of times.
Simon, did you have to convince your husband to add the short-term rental to your place? Or was that pretty much a given when you purchased, or just with your background too?
You know, I think we kind of both said, let's try doing it. And the fact that I was working from home convinced us that we were okay with doing it. I don't want to do it if I'm not in the house, great part because I want to be offering the service. Mm. And unfortunately, the one time I wasn't here, someone did smoke in the house, which convinced me that, you know, it's like, it's not worth it to me. I make it very clear. We don't have many rules, but one is please don't smoke in our house. Mm. They did. So sort of, I'd rather be here.
Right, right.
Simon, we get a lot, and I'm hoping from your personal experience, we get a lot of hosts that experience two different things. One of what you just said, they experience disappointment in the guest and the way that they treat their home sometimes, or the way that they leave it. And and they expressed to Sarah and I, hey, it's you know, they haven't damaged anything. It's just maybe a much heavier footprint than they had anticipated, but they're also charging a cleaning fee. So mentally, how would you suggest our hosts just think about that disappointment when someone, you know, maybe treats their home not with the same, you know, the same love that they would? And it's kind of, how would you talk them through that? Because they just get a little disheartened. They almost take it personal. And we try to separate as like, hey, there's a financial, you know, transaction taking place, and we're all different and we all treat things different. So if nothing was damaged and no rules were broken, but it just wasn't kept up to their standard, how would you discuss that with someone?
Well, I think there are a couple of things to consider. One is, I mean, I'm fortunate because I let my guests know I'm here in the house. I kind of, partly to let them know I'm here to help you, but it's also as a reminder, please don't take advantage because I'm here.
Right.
I'm downstairs. So just be aware of that. But I think it's also, you know, there is going to be natural wear and tear. It's interesting, the things that every guest takes. We have little hot chocolate packets, and almost everyone takes them. They don't drink them, but they take them. But I mean, why would I put, if I put it out, I expect you to use it. And if you want to take it, take it. So be it. You know, there's certain things. And I think you make certain choices when you're hosting in terms of, you know, what is the quality of the sheets? What is the quality of the towels? I've yet to have anyone take towels or anything, pillows. I mean, I happen to have Four Seasons pillow on our beds.
Nice.
Because I had an opportunity to buy them. So those are the pillows. But no one's ever taken them. I mean, the biggest thing for me is please don't smoke and take care of, and don't, you know, if the pets bother you, just keep the door closed. You know, you don't need to engage with our cats and our dog if you don't want to.
Right.
But I think ultimately it's you have to be willing to have wear and tear. And apart from that one incident, nothing's really gone wrong. Or I think we've been very fortunate. I don't know what it's like for people who aren't in their home and they're just sort of renting an empty space and they're saying, let's trust it. I'm also super meticulous about making sure the place is immaculately clean. We do not charge a cleaning fee. It's part of the fee. And I already have a cleaning service that does the house. So I just send them up and they clean the room. But I kind of feel like in that sense, it's a good value because I'm not going to charge you a cleaning fee. I think it's just the cost of doing business. If you stay at a hotel, you don't pay a cleaning fee. It's built into the cost of the room. And I think it's just how you choose to run your business. I mean, you can either say, I'm not going to charge you a cleaning fee, but maybe I use lesser quality. Maybe you make a decision that I'm going to choose lesser quality sheets or towels or maybe the tea or whatever. Or I am going to charge you a cleaning fee, but then you need to up your game, mm-hmm. I think, because there's a certain expectation from your guests that they want better quality. Mm-hmm. And I think it's reasonable expectation.
Well, and I think I don't know if it's fortunately, unfortunately, these online travel agencies have set up the culture to where you kind of have to explain it in your listing that you don't charge a cleaning fee and that's why your price is your price, you know, mm-hmm. versus mm-hmm. everyone else who has a cleaning fee because of course those platforms ask for it. But and I love how you have thought about your business holistically, Simon, at your home, because it's an extension of your house where you are already getting it cleaned. So that what a great use of your resources that you're already using anyway, and just having it be an extension of your short-term rental.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think the only sort of thing that I've done because of the short-term rental is I have very, very good, very high quality chef knives, which I actually hide. Mm-hmm. And I don't let anyone use them. So I have bought lesser quality knives, which I have available for the short-term rental users to cook with.
Sure.
Because I also know that they just won't take care of them to the level that I want to. So really, that's the only accommodation that I've personally made.
Yeah.
And I think it's a choice. I mean, no one's ever taken one, but I also know how I watch the way people cook. Even my friends who come over, they just don't know. So why would I put something that, you know, a knife that's, you know, $200 or $300 out there and then have them try to open a can with it or something?
Correct. Right.
And then I'm just annoyed and angry more at myself.
Right.
So you make, you know, Costco's nearby. I found a nice set of knives that I don't remember what they cost. Under $40 for a set, but they're sharp and they're good enough so that someone who is using the kitchen can cook away. And if they destroy them, that's fine. It was only $40.
This is a great example of just know thyself, you know, like that's your thing, Simon, which I love that you are, you know, that's who you are. That's what would annoy you. That's yeah.
Sarah and I, when we do consultations for hosts that will be, you know, potentially renting their own personal property, that's my number one thing. I'm like, what's the one thing or things in your home that, like, you know, no amount of money is worth having a guest stay. You know, it doesn't matter how long they stay or how much money. Or two, what's just going to tick you off so bad that it's still not going to be worth it? So, you know, because there comes a point where it isn't worth it. You know, so you have to kind of have that hard, you know, conversation with yourself in the mirror of like, what's here that if it was broken or stolen or, you know, not treated the way that I would like, is the money not worth it? And so you need to always keep that into consideration. And just like what Simon does, hide your knives when the guest is there. Simon, this is a selfish question, but I think our listeners might like it. I do not have any hotel experience, but at the Four Seasons, like what's something, a philosophy or something that even anybody throughout the system there would know that our hosts could adapt and use in, you know, whether they have a one-bedroom apartment or it's a room in their house, what's something from the Four Seasons that could translate over to anyone with any type of property?
Yeah, I think great question. I think one of the things to think about is anticipatory service. I mean, if an example that comes to mind, if it's a rainy night and your guests are arriving in the rain, I mean, having a nice warm beverage for them when they arrive and towels and just sort of say, hey, you know, welcome into our home. Here's a towel. You must be wet. Can I get you something to warm you up? And I always offer a welcome drink as well, mm-hmm. you know, be it hot tea or a glass. I mean, if we have wine open, I'm going to offer people a glass of wine, mm-hmm. You know, and I think it's thinking it through. What would I like if I arrived I've been traveling for a couple of hours. And most of the people who come here have traveled at least 2.5 or 3 hours. They've driven from Denver, mm-hmm. unless they flew directly into Eagle. And so depending on the season, if it's the winter, maybe traffic was bad or the Vail Pass is closed. And so it took longer. They may be stressed. So it's really about being very, very anticipatory and thinking, what would I want in that situation? And making an offering of it. And it can always be turned down, but at least you've extended of yourself in that environment. And I think that that's, you have to make service about them, not about you.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah. Well, it's about you and you're setting up your business, kind of like with the knives, right? You've decided what you're willing to offer or not. And then yes. Simon, were you a part of the hotel community when short-term rentals were becoming more and more popular?
Yeah.
What were those conversations and where do you see the hotel and short-term rental industries either continuing to rival on? Will they find their own? Have they found their own? Do you think they always had their own place? Talk to us about your personal viewpoint on hotels and short-term rentals and the guest.
Well, I think that a couple of things. I know that when Airbnb was coming on board or was sort of clearly no longer a fad and it was something to be reckoned with, I remember hearing conversations and being part of conversations that's really going to eat away at our business. That, you know, suddenly we have a new competition. I find it interesting now that some hotel brands are actually starting to go into mm-hmm. the short-term rental market and using Airbnb as their own model. Mm-hmm. I think they recognize that maybe there's something to be gained by doing that in sort of renting a home and having that privacy. But I think there's two different kinds of guests. Those who want to stay in a hotel, I think, are looking for anonymity and they want recognition, but they don't want to be pestered necessarily. Whereas when you come into someone's home, if in this case, I'm here all the time, I've rented Airbnbs as well, where you're kind of in someone's space. And I've stayed in some Airbnbs and I'm like, it's just very clear to me that I'm in someone else's space. Mm-hmm. And it's a very different environment. It's when I go to a hotel, I feel like it's a clean slate. The room is of a certain standard and I know I can move in. Whereas when I'm in an Airbnb that I stayed in, I feel like I'm trying not to tread in their space. So it's different expectations from a guest point of view, quite mm-hmm. frankly. And some people, you know, it may be that they don't like hotels. They want to feel comfortable in someone's house. But in a hotel, maybe you take advantage of certain offerings that you would never get in an Airbnb or a short-term rental. For example, I happen to really like pre-COVID daily maid service.
Mm-hmm.
I love that, but I don't offer that here. If you're here more than a few, like the people, once again, going to the people who were here, because they were our longest guests, the 10 to 14 night, midway said, let me come up and change your sheets. And she said, no, I'll take care of it. So I brought her clean sheets and she changed the bedding. But in a hotel, I like having the bed made. I like all that. So it's all about different expectations.
Right.
And I'm not quite sure what the hotel industry is doing if they're going into short-term rental. I'm assuming that they're offering some form of housekeeping because that's just what hotels used to do. And mm-hmm. I hope we'll be doing again mm-hmm. post-COVID.
So it sounds like, you know, kind of what we always have kind of said is there's going to be a market for both. They're just different.
Yeah. Very different. And it's, I think some of it is based on comfort. Some of it is based on price point, mm-hmm. quite frankly. Some people, you know, talking about aspirational, I look at what some of the homes are here in the Vail Valley and what they're charging. There's some beautiful homes here that you can rent without the owners being in there. And I mean, they're stunning. And they are a fraction of the cost of a hotel, but they may be in fact aspirational to the person who's renting it as well, because it's a home that's maybe in a nicer location or nicer than the home that they think they live in.
Mm-hmm.
And so in that sense, I think staying away from your home has an allure of fantasy. Hopefully. I mean, sometimes I think you end up, we all have stories of places we've stayed in that are disappointing. And hopefully that's not the case for most guests. I mean, hopefully they're really satisfied. And I can only control what I can control, which is the people who stay here.
I would love to ask you a question as it relates to your expertise with recruiting.
Sure.
A lot of our listeners, the first person I usually hire to help them is their turnover team or their housekeeping team, their cleaner. Do you have experience? Is that, I mean, do you have you hired cleaners for hotels before?
I have not, since I focused mainly on food and beverage.
Sure.
I didn't hire the cleaning team. I've hired someone to clean my house on a few occasions, because the house that we have in Boston comes with cleaning service.
Mm-hmm.
It's something you don't get a choice to opt out of it. Same thing with our tenants downstairs. The apartment mm-hmm. comes with cleaning service. It's something that I've learned. It's sort of you have an asset and you want to take care of it.
Yeah.
But I think part of it is, in terms of hiring cleaning people, I think word of mouth is really important.
Okay.
It's the most important thing you can do. It's like, I've never used one of these services. It's usually, you know of a good cleaning person. So I go to friends whose homes I've been to, who, you know, the house is well taken care of, or who I know have very high standards themselves. And I'll say, who are you using?
Mm-hmm.
And referral is the best way. Actually, we just got a new cleaning person, and the neighbor, I think, is going to get her name and number as well, because she did such an amazing job.
That's wonderful. Are there any, when you got the referral and you connected with the cleaner yourself,
yep.
Did your recruiter skills kick in? Were there any particular questions you asked them, or anything that you were looking for to really feel out if they were going to be a good fit for you and your property?
Well, in this particular case, it was sort of, was the house manageable for her? Because it's three floors of house.
Mm-hmm.
What's the time frame they need to do it? And because I had, I was comparing this person to the previous person and getting a sense. And what's your background? And I mean, this person, I had very, very good credentials. And I have to say that she blew us all away. I mean,
wow.
The house has never been cleaner. I was kind of like, we all commented like, oh my God, what has just happened? I actually even realized last night that she even cleaned our oven, which is kind of shocking.
Wow.
Like, yeah, that's by far the best. And it's, she showed a level of care that was far surpassed anything that I could have expected. And there's no way you know that. I mean, there's no way to measure that. You have to try it out. And I think you have to be able to gauge and offer feedback to the person. If the person is working for you, you have to be honest and upfront about saying, hey, when you did this, you missed it. Because otherwise you start to build up resentment.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want that. You need to just say, be very direct and say, when you clean this, can you take care of this?
Yeah.
And then check it again the next time. And if they don't do it, say, hey, we've mentioned this. And it's the same way you have any relationship with anyone at work. It's sort of, you have to ensure that they're doing it to your expectations. And if not, you need to figure out why. And then what you want to do about it.
Right. I guess you being a manager of a restaurant and food and beverage level position that you held, I'm sure that you came across those situations all the time with employees,
yep,
and people who were on your team. Yeah. And so for our listeners, I think that happens a lot, Simon, where they get upset that the cleaner isn't looking in the silverware drawer and maybe reorganizing the forks they look tidy. And truly, it's just as simple as pointing it out to them, and mm-hmm. once, twice, and then if let's say that you do it once or twice and you feel like your pool of talent is very small, what do you have any advice for people who just feel like, do you think that's just a feeling they have and that there truly is someone out there for them and to move on? Or do you really invest in that person if they seem willing to work with you?
I would always invest in the person if they seem willing. I've never had an issue with the cleaning services we've had. But, you suddenly, with this new cleaning person, she's so far surpassed.
Yeah.
The previous one that I was like, whoa, you get what you pay for. And uh-huh. and if you're paying a lot, hopefully you're getting your value. And if you're paying what's a reasonable amount, you go, well, maybe I need to adjust my expectations. And if I need to be extra fastidious about that, either do it myself or offer to compensate the person, because it is a business relationship, and say, hey, if you do this, how much would it cost me to get this done? Don't expect something for nothing.
That's good.
That's really good. Yeah.
Maybe this is what they're charging you as their baseline. And if you want your windows clean and all this else, you have to negotiate. Then say, if you want, if I wanted all this done, what more is it going to cost? But don't just expect it because you've welcomed, they're in your house cleaning.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. All right. And that, anything else?
My other question, just because of where you're located,
sure.
have you had any repeat guests? And in that thank you note, is there, you know, do you offer for them to come back and stay? What's your thought about repeat guests?
We haven't had repeat guests. We've had people who wanted to come back, but then we got COVID. So right. We've not actually had any guests since, I think, February of last year.
Gotcha.
And we quickly closed down. I mean, it was too much of a risk.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
What's going on? We're starting to feel more comfortable, and especially as, you know, I think people are more aware that we need to move on. And then there's the issue that they know how to travel safely, that we don't need to interact. Mm-hmm. The house, I mean, I'm confident that upstairs is super clean. Mm-hmm. You know, there are certain kinds of guests that I would be. We got two guests who came. They were young. They were skiers. And they stayed here at the time because they said, we're at the cheapest place in the valley. And I don't know. It was, right now with COVID, I'd be nervous.
Right.
But by and large, everyone we've gotten has been professional and great.
Right.
And those two guys were totally fine. So it was more my own personal anxiety than anything else. And I mean, I think the plan moving forward is we'll probably spend a couple of days cleaning the room and wait and then bring in some others. I mean, it's not, we occasionally will get back-to-back rentals. And hopefully some of those people, when they start to travel again that we've had in the past, will remember us and come again. I can only hope that.
Yeah,
it's a whole new world order now. I'm not sure what's going to happen.
That was that's my closing question for you is, where, obviously, you know, travel has an amazing place in people's hearts, you know, and where do you think travel will go in 2021 and 2022, the future?
Well, I think as soon as we have a vaccine, travel will explode. I mean, I can only speak for myself, but mm-hmm. I think for a lot of people I know, we're itching to get out of our homes. I mean, I kind of feel a little bit. We're very blessed to live where we do because, I mean, we've got 16 miles of hiking trail literally outside our door. The trailhead is right there. Lots of places with bikes for bikes. And so I've got the freedom of being able to explore, you know, and anyone who stays here can do that or who lives here. But to leave the valley is a need that, I mean, I know we have it, my husband and I, we just want to go and travel. I think as soon as there's this vaccine, it's going to be seeing an influx of traveling everywhere because people are itching. They feel trapped in their homes, in their lives right now. And I think the industry absolutely will explode again. It probably is not going to be till the third or fourth quarter of 2021, mm-hmm. just based on some of the hotels that I'm doing business with right now.
Okay.
You know, they're moving slowly. They're cautious. They're hopeful that once this vaccine is available to everyone, I don't see why travel will not relaunch itself. What I'm concerned about, you know, from a hotel standpoint is, because we've stayed in hotels in the last few months, you know, all hotels have cut back because they had to. I hope it's not a new business model to try to retain profit or make profit. I hope they go back to what was the expectation. I know that I will continue to offer what I think is the expectation. Because I can control it easier, mm-hmm. You know, in terms of welcoming to my home and the amenity. I'm not going to change anything that I've done. I just think it was the right thing to do in March to stop hosting until we figured this out.
Sure.
But I think that we need to, as an industry, as a hospitality industry, a restaurant and hotel industry, we need to go back. There are too many people dependent on it in terms of employees. But also consumers. Consumers, you can't have an experience that was, well, before COVID, we used to do this, and now this is the new expectation. I think if you're going to be in hospitality, you need to be really giving of yourself at all times, above and beyond, because that's the expectation when you pay for something.
No, I love that insight. Yeah. Well, and I know that listeners, you know, we've got your attention right now. So anything that you can do to go above and beyond for your guests, anticipate their needs, and to really give them a unique experience, I think hopefully that will trickle down into all other aspects of food and beverage, hospitality, hotels, travel. Mm-hmm. Simon, thank you so much for your time and all. You are well versed between food and beverage and hotels and recruiting,
short term rental.
Yes,
all the things.
We really enjoyed diving into your brain. Thank you so much. Did you want to leave our listeners with anything, any insights or a message?
Yeah, I mean, I think the message is, you know, I think anyone who's in short term rental will welcome you. And it will welcome you back, especially if they are saying, I'm open for business. And so, you know, give of yourself if you're welcoming, but also show respect if you are coming into someone's home now more than ever, because it's a real leap of faith and a trust that was never there before. Mm-hmm. On both sides. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just really important for both sides to show that level of gratitude towards the other in light of what we've gone through in the last year.
Yeah. Wow. Amen.
Yeah. Well said.
All right. Listeners, I am Sarah Karakayan.
I am Annette Grant. And together we are.
Thanks for visiting. We'll chat with you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. Head on over to the show notes for this episode at thanksforvisiting.me. If you're looking to take your listing to the next level and show your guests how much you care, be sure to check out our line of thoughtful hosting products. From hosting checklists to custom mugs to toilet paper stickers, we've got you covered. And if you love our show, remember, sharing is caring. Please hit that subscribe button and leave us a review. Awesome reviews help us bring you awesome content. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to hanging out with you next week. Thanks for visiting.
Ever wonder what it would be like to have personalized guidance from Annette and me? Imagine achieving the same incredible results we helped Amy achieve, increasing her overall revenue by a staggering 187% by diving into her biz numbers. Or perhaps you'd love to boost your hosting business like Miranda, who added a fantastic $10,000 by refining her pet policy. Well, here's a scoop. There's only one way to get that one-on-one support from Annette, myself, our expert coaches, and our industry pros, is by attending our on-demand workshop. Trust us, it's worth it. During the workshop, we'll make an offer to all of our attendees to join our membership. Once you're a part of our exclusive membership, you'll gain access to our elite community of hosts in our private Facebook group. This is where the magic truly happens. Members are engaging in discussions about their business numbers, occupancy rates, how to handle guest challenges, and providing unwavering support to one another. Plus, we will have live coaching calls to help you dive deeper into portfolio growth, team building, marketing, and so much more. Don't wait any longer. Head on over to www.hostmasterclass.com right now to secure your spot and embark on this exciting journey with us. That's www.hostmasterclass.com. Trust us, you won't regret it.